Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth.
Drama.
All right, welcome to Smooth Drama with your host, Dick Hugger. Tonight, we got a great show for you. We got my man, Travis Ware, CEO of Silverware Studios. That's right. We're gonna talk some big talk today. And if you want to holler at Mr. Ware, feel free to break us off a call, 646-929-2037. Once again, call number 646-929-2037. And that's if you want to talk to little me too. You know, see what's going on, or if you want to say something about what's going on with you. I want to hear from you. And in that note, I know some of y'all are too shy to call. And if you're too shy to call, you can always email me at dick@smoothdrama.com. Once again, you know, you're a little too shy to call, you can email me, dick@smoothdrama.com. And last but not least, as always, because I want to have a nice, long love affair with you to keep up with us here at Smooth Drama, you know, so you can stalk us and we can, of course, stalk you. You can text the word Smooth Drama to the number 41411 from your mobile device. Once again, you know, because we want to stalk each other, text the word from your mobile device, Smooth Drama, to the number 41411. And we can just like virtually hug and kiss and squeeze each other. It'd be real, real nice. Speaking of nice, I had to start off with this. As most people know, here in the United States, civilized world, O.J. Simpson, he went to jail for trying to get his memorabilia back. Well, his homie, I guess another one of his ride-or-die homies, Clarence C.J. Stewart, he waited 2 years before breaking his silence, talking about the robbery and the trial that landed him also in jail. You know, O.J. wasn't the only one to go to jail here. It was C.J. went down with him, too. You know, C.J. is actually serving 7.5 to 27 years at a Northern Nevada Correctional Center in Carson City. Now, he said that he thought he was going to win, whatnot, and the thing that had me cracking up, he feels that he didn't get his day in court. He said that the case was about sending O.J. Simpson to prison after he evaded a murder conviction during the trial of the century. Yeah. Why was you hanging out with O.J. in the first damn place is the fucking question. It's like, look, you know they're trying to get this dude. I mean, you might qualify as dumbass of the century. You hanging around with this dude, and you know everybody and their mama not only hating, well, I won't say everybody and their mama, but there's a substantial amount of the population in the United States that does not feel too kindly or look too fondly upon Orenthal. You hanging out with him and you're going to commit a robbery with him and think you're not going to get caught. Makes you wonder about common sense with people. Some of y'all ain't got it. Case in point, politician Michael Vaughn, who just happens to be a member of the Maryland House of Delegates. He represents the 24th district in the area where the Washington Redskins are, in Maryland, right? Homie puts on his website, bragging and boasting, that he played for the Dallas Cowboys for 3 years. Now, for most of us here in the 21st century, especially after the year 2000, kind of well-versed on the internet. So, Michael Vaughn got looked up on the internet and didn't come up on any Dallas Cowboy rosters at all. So, of course, you know, there's a little sting behind it. And he's like, well, no, I didn't do it. Then he said he was signed as a free agent in 1980. And then he tried to, well, it had nothing to do with me. I'm an NFL Players Alumni Association member. And then he tried the whole, it's the media's fault. And then he said he practiced for 5 months with the Dallas Cowboys. It's like, dude, don't even do it. Nowadays, you can't lie about shit like that. It's not like, you know, 1972, where you can just come out, oh, yeah, I played for the Cowboys, and, you know, you'd have to go look it up. You know, I can look you up, like, bam. We all know you look up anybody at 10,989,000 search results. So, Michael Vaughn, I don't understand what you got. You was already elected. Why are you going to put that on your website? I hope that wasn't how you got elected in the first place, because it's not looking good for you if you're running again. I can almost guarantee that. Just a thought. And going on to, y'all know me, I'm big on women's rights, whatnot, especially overseas. You know, here in America, women have had a bit amount of rights. You know, you can walk down the street without somebody throwing rocks at you on purpose. Well, not on purpose, but y'all know what I'm saying. An Iranian woman who was sentenced to death for stoning in Iran, you know, denounced her lawyer and said that she knew about the plot to kill her husband, but she thought it was a joke. Let me try to say her name here. Sakina Mohammadi Ashtiani, who just got sentenced to stoned to death, she pleaded guilty to, you know, murder. Unfortunately, she said she was forced to confess after being subjected to 99 lashes. Now, I don't know about anybody else, but just watching that shit on Roots, 99 lashes. I mean, just watching 9 lashes, I was ready to confess, and I was just watching it on TV. So you figure after 99 lashes, you'll confess to anything. Unfortunately for Miss Ashtiani, her story kind of falls apart because she said, it was her husband's cousin, and he said, I want to hang out with you, and we should kill your husband. She goes on to say he entered my life and fooled me with his words and said, let's kill my husband. And then he comes to the house with his tools and whatnot. But what she didn't mention was the fact that she was the one who who needled him up. She knocked him out so that he can put him in the tub and then electrocute him. So, yeah, this, I'm going to say her name one more time because probably going to be the last time we talk about her until she gets stoned to death, which sounds like a horrible ass death. Shakina. That sounds like a black name. Oh my God, stoning to death. I've never seen the execution. I mean, I've always seen them on TV. I don't know about anybody else, but that sounds kind of crazy, kind of out there. Oh, speaking of out there, everybody, stand up, be happy. The granddad bandit has been caught. Homie was in Louisiana when they caught him. He's wanted for 25 robberies. Homie hit 25 banks. You know, if y'all know anything, the 52-year-old guy got caught up. Well, finally got caught. I don't know how this old-ass dude got away with it, but he did get away with it. I don't know if he's like John Dillinger's grandson, whatever. he finally got caught out there. That's the last of the bank robbing cowboys, whatever you want to call it. Hey, I guess if someone's interested in robbing banks, there's an opening now. Granddad is caught, so there's a void that needs to be filled. Any of you want to be cowboys out there? Oh, goodness. On that note, speaking of cowboys, we're going to break into a song by my boys from HISD off their album, The District, Cowboys. And after that, we'll come back with my main man, Travis Ware.
Like Dean Wilder grabbing the chest piece and herd dog cattle. Brand a name on the leg, the district rap game. We claim telling the same like putting tame. Bang, bang, shoot em up, fam. Bugs Bunny rap, catch heat like Yosemite Sam. Try to fight it like John Wayne and heart damage. New sheriff in town, give me a hat, Reggie Hammond. 48 hours to leave the damn text town. You can get with this, cause it's worldwide spit. Or you can get with that, Black Stallion, y'all just horse crap. What a pity, someone for loops like the stuff was made in New York City. Get a rope, sit hot, pace for Conte. The Wild Wild West like Kumo D, Will Smith, or Delonte. But in the South, 10 steps turn around, fire, Dan Fouts. Strictly out in the mouth, rap, get stomped out, then skate on them like roll bounce. Young Guns right off into the sunset. Secretariat Cowboys, original that love Billy the Kid Grit. Click clack, hooves kick up dirt from the street. We ride, glide, and blow by like tumbleweed.
Yup, giddy up, serve in the cup. Man, hold up, pull it up, that ain't thick enough. Shucky's up, Buffalo Soldier, we posse up. Mario Band, pick it up, pick up truck, that's for a tough. It's Chevy heavy for crew clutch, that's clicked up. They say you all but you cover up. M-Run funds, we like big stuff, so double up. Elijah Warren, champions, they're locking up. Live stocking it up, port, folio, rodeo, and show them up. In that wild, wild, wild South Texas, cowboys, stick them up. Yeah, don't let your babies grow up to be. Mama, don't let your babies grow up to be. Huh? They from Texas, they got to be. Mama, don't let your babies grow up to be. They from Texas, they got to be trained out, stressed out, don't know what I'm talking about. 3 in the morning, I'm still sleeping with an open mouth. Down south, you sex, y'all don't really know about these boys. Cowboy, who us? Cowboy, don't get it twisted, we spit the slang. And food in my claim, claim for out of town, they're thinking the same. We tight knit, cut the fat lip, don't come in with trim. You'll get split like bananas, bananas, the boss like Tony Danza. We bomb hog in Texas tea, my dirty like Tennessee. The Bumby boy in the fleet, get through the peace when we got it. You hear some hugs every week, come to stick this in your ear. We raw hot as a crunchy pumpkin. The
battle up and ride, now we through these dusty roads. Well, we wrestle with mics and stereotypes. What a northerner's mic. Wanna start a civil war in the Confederate States? What a Confederate take. Everything that we make to make a living off of our killing, ice drilling, drug dealing us a bad hand. But we still play to win, lose or draw your guns. Cowboys, shootouts, tunnels, saloons. They didn't wanna give us room. So we built our own house from the ground up. Now they wanna down us, clown us. Like we paint candy paintbrush on the canvas of the track with pictures of black dripping the grain and the lack. So picture those pictures of black spatter from whips that crack. No wonder we back in the trap. Crack rapping for whips and chains. Austin Black stock tray and I slang like man. Hold up your pimp cups and such. But in the home of the loan, the source for first our foam. And we roam the frontier. We go front, we roll blunts and cold beers. It's no beer, it's our year, so go steer. Your cattle too, beef with others in the streets. Where brothers get circled by the cops like vultures. Welcome to the wild, wild westernized culture.
Don't let your babies grow up to be. Yep, they from Texas, they got to be. Mama, don't let your babies grow up to be.
Say, man, y'all boys from Texas.
Together you got to be. Smooth
drama. All right. Welcome back to Smooth Drama. That was HISD off their album, The District, Cowboys. Don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys. On that note, we're going to get my man Travis Ware on the phone here. Travis.
This is he.
What's going on, sir? How you living?
Oh, I'm living live, living live.
I can tell you this. Reading your bio, I was like, man, you like Jamaican. You got like 85 jobs.
So many hats, man. So many hats.
Yeah, I don't know how you do it, but welcome to Smooth Drama, sir. And
hey.
Tell us, what you got going, man?
Wow. How much time we got on this station?
We got about 800 years. Go for it.
Well, what I'm working on now is a 5-part franchise called Wind and Fire. What is consists of is a comic book, which will be coming out first in a few months. Also, that leads into a CGI animated feature film called Wind and Fire, The Origin. The comic book, by the way, is called Wind and Fire, Blind Faith.
Okay.
And then right after the CGI film comes the TV series. Oh, scratch that. Before the TV series, the video game comes out.
Video game. All right.
It's called Fire Blind Justice.
All right.
And then the TV series, the animated TV series come out. Then one last thing comes out, and that's the live action film.
All right. You know, I'm available as an extra. I just want to put that out there before we start talking. Anyway, so,
why did I know that was coming?
Hey, so tell us what is Wind and Fire about? Tell us the story.
Well, Wind and Fire is about a black guy that lost his sight when he was a rookie cop in New York City. He was found by a ninja master that trained his senses to be like supernatural. But he still wanted to be a cop and he became detective. And also he was partnered with a Hispanic cop named Honest Scott. The character's name is Travis Wayne, by the way.
Okay.
And Honest Scott is his partner, and they're trying to stop this loan investment real estate / loan shark guy that owns half of Manhattan, New York, which is where Travis and Anna work. And homicide police department.
Okay. So is this like is this fiction, sci-fi? Are there some superpowers? Is this like a kung fu action?
Yes.
All right.
Because if you can put Spawn. Remember the animated TV show Spawn?
Yes, sir.
Do you remember The Sopranos?
Yes, sir.
Do you remember Ninja Scroll? It's an anime film called Ninja Scroll.
Yes, I have that. I have all of those, actually. But go ahead.
Man. you put that in Apple, the look of Appleseed in it. And there you go. That's the franchise look and feel.
Okay. All right. So on the comic book, which is first,
comic book.
Have you already started that? You got an artist, or have you penned it? Do you have an artist working on that?
I have just attached myself to an artist that works for Marvel Comics. He draws Johnny Luke Cage, Noor.
Luke Cage.
Yes.
Okay.
The black superhero.
Yeah, I know who Luke Cage is. He just doesn't have a regular title. So I was trying to pick the artist because I would probably know the artist.
Luke Cage, and it's the Noor. It's Marvel Noor.
Yeah.
N-O-I-R.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, okay. All right. I know who you're talking about. He's the one that did Luke Cage with the gold tooth.
Yeah. If you can't, if the comic is black and white, so I guess there's a gold tooth.
All right. So tell us now. I know you're the CEO now, but I know you started off as a screenwriter.
Actually, before even that, I was actually a cartoonist.
Okay.
I drew, and Wind and Fire was actually my first comic book that I had when I had a comic book company that I sold underground. And that was always my dream to have it a TV show. I never thought in a million trillion years that it would branch a franchise.
Okay. Well, that's why we have dreams, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
You dream it, and then you put it on paper, and you make it happen.
Exactly. Yeah, I drew it, and I stopped drawing myself, and, you know, I figured there's so many people out there that draw much better than me. So I just finished writing it, and that's how I got into writing screenplays.
Okay. So what are some of the screenplays that you've worked on?
Wow. I just finished the live version of Wind and Fire, but I also co-wrote a film that's coming out called Last Night, which is a murder mystery. I also wrote a female martial art film called Photo Finish. That's we're talking to Halle Berry.
Hello.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, all right. You kind of broke up there for a minute. Could you repeat that? You said Photo Finish, and then...
And I was thinking of the other ones I wrote. One is called Dragon, which is a periodic piece that takes place in 16th century Japan.
All right.
And it gives you, it's a sci-fi fantasy martial arts film. It's about a black guy that's a ninja that was raised in Japan. And he got caught up in the Japanese dynasty drama of a female samurai becoming shogun, which her uncle is trying to kill her because he don't want a female to be running, you know, Japan.
Right.
So he gets caught up in that. It's a trilogy, actually.
Okay.
All right. And I'm writing, I wrote a vampire film. That's a vampire drama called Immortal Secrets.
Immortal Secrets?
Yes.
All right, so you going to tell us what some of the secrets are?
No. Let's just say, if you ever find, if you was in that world, in the immortal world, and found out the secret, you have about 60 seconds before the whole vampire cleanse takes your life.
Well, that's not an incentive for me to want to learn that secret. I'm like, well, scratch that investigation. I don't need nothing. It's like I find out the secret and I'm going to have a whole vampire clan trying to eat me.
Not just one clan. There's like 7 clans where it's dwelt, and all of them would have to take you out. All
right, well, I don't need to know.
There's martial arts film as well. There's martial arts in as well. And you know I'm a big martial arts fan, if you did.
Yeah, I'm a big martial arts fan, too. I just had the martial arts guy on the other day. Some of these screenplays, how close are they to getting put out there?
Well, we got after Wind and Fire comes out, then Immortal Secret comes out. And after that, that's when Photo Finish comes out.
All right. I mean, you keep it busy. Now, I also read that you're an instructor also in between your other 47 jobs. You want to talk about?
Well, I used to be... I don't instruct anymore. I used to be a acting and modeling instructor at John Casablancas Modeling and Career Center for about 5 years. Okay. And I actually taught students how to perform in front of the camera and the business behind that.
Okay. All right, man. Like I said, and I know that, you know, as a writer and as an instructor, you know, you'd be very busy. Now, how do you find the time to do all this? I mean, in between writing and running your company?
No sleep. Every now and then I just black out.
Okay.
And wake up, start again, you know. It's really hard. I mean, like running a corporation and building a studio that I'm doing also in Tumming, Georgia.
Okay, so are you doing this alone? I mean, is this a joint enterprise, or is this you just killing yourself?
I have a partner, and we have executives under us.
Okay.
That help out. It's not just me. I'm just the top guy, but I have people. I'm just the people. I have people under me.
Okay.
You know. They say a great man have greater people following him.
Yeah. Well, you know, you only as good as the people that's behind you.
Exactly.
So now with these projects coming up here. What does Travis Ware do in his 30 minutes of free time?
Spend it with the family.
Okay.
As much as I can. with the wife and kids.
All right. Well, you living a well-balanced life here.
So we'll see. You don't see the dark nights when I cry in a corner. Please help me.
We feeling your pain here, man. We sympathizing with you here.
Yeah, but it's all in fun, man. It's all in fun. All
right. So, okay, you gonna do the book. When exactly is the book due to hit the streets?
We're aiming for about 2 months. It will be on Amazon.com. You can buy it. But we're...
So is it going to be... All right, now you're saying you're doing the book, the graphic novel, and then right after the graphic novel, you're jumping into the...
CGI animated film.
CGI animated film. You plan on doing any, like, launching on your website, any web episodes, anything like that, some teasers, some trailers for people?
Right now I have a fan page on Facebook at Saw Wind and Fire, The Origin. It's a fan page that has all the information. It has the animatics. It has drawings and all the stuff that up to now what we've done with the project. And it tells about, it has excerpts of the comic book even.
Okay.
So you can actually read part of it up there.
Now, you know, I got to ask you this. Wind and Fire, did you just do Wind and Fire because you didn't want to piss the music group Earth, Wind and Fire off?
I love Earth, Wind and Fire.
I love Earth, Wind and Fire, too.
I love you guys. If you're listening, I love you.
But, I think it's a thing what you're doing because, you know, not a lot of people working on their independent projects have the courage to push their stuff out there and, you know, come out with it independently. Do you have any mainstream backing or anything like that?
Well, right now we have worldwide distribution pre-sale with Shoreline Entertainment. We just, I got that with the whole franchise. So they fell in love with the project and the concept, and they decided, you know, they want to even co-produce with me.
Oh, okay. All right. So how does that go, you know, as far as franchising a book, a character, whatnot? Is that a deal through your distributor? They give you money to franchise it, whatnot, and you guys go 50-50, or is it something where you put up and then if you blow, then they push it out there even more? We trying to understand how exactly you come from the bottom up to produce these works of art.
Well, we have it set up where it's like following the character's life, because the comic book basically is the backgrounding of Travis Anna and Charles Falone, the main bad guy, how they became who they are. Okay, that's how it starts. The comic book series is actually a series, and it's not just a graphic novel. So you have issue 1 through whatever until I get tired of writing.
Okay.
It tells you exactly how he became blind, how Anna became a detective, how Charles became the top guy and bought out half of Manhattan, who he worked for. It gives the background of everybody that's in the main story, how he got his ninja skills, all that you learn through the comic book.
Okay. All right. Well, Well, actually, what I was actually asking also was for other listeners out there who were interested in publishing and franchising their artistic product, how do they go about it?
Well, what they have to do is they have to show, if they're pitching it to an investor or studio or whatever, they have to show how one links up with the other, you know, because, you know, usually you will have, like, the comic book, and that's all you got. Then you got to pitch the next thing again. Then you got to pitch the next thing again. But if it's a great concept and the investor sees that it flows into other stuff and they feel that it can pick up momentum and pick up a lot of money, they will jump on and take over the whole thing.
Yeah, because I'm thinking the money part is very important to investors.
Exactly. That ROI, you know.
Yeah, ROI, very, very important. Return on investment.
Yes, sir. And what I did was I just picked the whole thing because it's not just my project. It's not just one thing in end. Because sometimes some people were saying that if you usually have a movie and then if the movie does well, then you pitch the TV show. But I didn't do it that way because everything that ends, it leads into the other stuff. And the way the fan base is, they're going to want to see what happens next.
Right.
So the comic book leaves the cliffhanger that falls into the CGI movie.
Right.
And the CGI movie leads into the series.
Right.
And that branches off the video game. And everybody will wonder what happens when it looks live. So, and we have to do it that way as well.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, it sounds like you got your ducks in a row here.
I'm trying. Day by day.
Okay. So you're looking at when you do it as a series on TV, you're talking about bringing it, since you've already pitched it, to cable TV, whatnot, and that's, you'll be, you've looked at any tentative actors, anything as far as putting together a cast for your show?
Yes. Wow. Oh, we have like a whole streamline of talent that's coming on board and love the concept and the story. We've been talking to Andy Garcia. We've been talking to Lance Reddick from Fringe. I don't know if you watched that show.
Yes, sir.
Your sci-fi. Well, you know the main guy, the boss?
Yes.
And then we talked to Brian White being in the show. We talked to all that I love. And everybody in anime. And do voiceover. So it's about certain actors in one swoop.
Okay, well, I just want to, like, walk by on the screen, and that was it. So long as I can walk by on the screen, throw my thumb up, peace them out.
Then be like, give a shout out to Ray Ray.
Yeah.
And Pookie.
And Pookie and all them. My sister was nicknamed Pookie, by the way. She probably don't want to hear me saying that on the air, but I just said it's too late. Mr. Ware, are you there? Hello, Mr. Ware. Mr. Ware. I think we have lost you. Have we lost you? Okay. Let me give him a call back. I think we lost him there in the middle of the conversation. By the way, I'm sorry. to my sister. I said your nickname that you didn't want heard. Huh. All right. We're trying to get Mr. Ware back on the phone here.
We're experiencing technical difficulties. All
right. Glad to have you back, sir. Now, I know you've written books. How many books have you written?
Right now I just written actually one to start. I've written a book on screenplay writing. That's available on Amazon.com.
Okay.
It's called Beyond the Pages, Volume 1. It's the guide to screenplay writing. It's like a screenwriter's course that I created that teaches you not only how to write a script, it teaches you the business behind it.
Okay.
And how to pitch as well.
Yeah, those are very important things. Because I think a lot of people think it's sort of like the music business. Like, I'll just come up and I'll say a rhyme and I'll get signed. They don't understand the business part of it.
Exactly. It's not writing a script, believe me, they think it's easy, but it takes a lot of creativity, focus, and a lot of patience. It's like birthing a child.
Yeah, I don't want no parts of that.
Sending your child out into the world,
yes,
and you get stomped on with combat boots.
Yeah, that's
basically what it is.
Oh, all right.
Because if you're a screenplay writer, you actually sell your script. That's your job. Write it,
Right. Sell
it. Unless you're a director or producer like myself, but if you're just basically straight screenplay writer, you sell it, and you just pray to God that whoever buys it has the same vision as you.
Yeah.
You don't want to write a horror movie, and you look up, and it's an animation or sci-fi. You're like, that's not what I wrote, but you don't sell it. So you sold the rights to it.
Right.
There's a good side and a bad side to it.
Yeah. Well, so have you had any experiences along that way on something that you've done and it didn't quite come out the way you expected it to?
Well, a while back when I was starting a screenplay writing and I was pitching it to producers, I always got the thing, well, that would be great if it was this. Or can you not put this in it? Because when I started, I was a teleplay writer, like writing for TV. But then you have so many rules what you can't do on TV that you can do in film, where you can't kill as many people, can't show as much blood, can't show that much nudity.
What? No nudity on regular TV?
No, man, you can't do that.
Damn. All right. I don't knew there was a reason why I don't watch regular TV.
So I went from teleplay writing to screenplay writing to have a little more freedom. Just a little more. And I got to thinking, if I sell my script, would they love it as much as I love creating it? Probably not. So that's why I became a producer myself. And, you know, there's tons of producers out there. That's why I'm building my studio, segue to the studio. And that's why I'm building the studio, because there's so many talented artists and filmmakers out there that don't have a chance in L.A. or New York because they're so picky. But my studio is based for the indie people.
Okay. Yeah. So as far as your studio goes, what exactly constitutes your studio? And for people out there listening, how would they be able to get in contact with you and get involved?
What my studio it's a one-stop shop. Well, where in Georgia is usually where you have to go to about five different places to make one movie. Where you got to go one place to get your production offices, you got one place to get your sound stage, another place to do your consuming. But not everything. Those big boys out there, they don't have exactly everything. My studio will.
Okay.
You'll never have to leave under the roof unless you shoot in an exterior scene. And even then, we got that too.
All right. So we want to catch up to Travis. We're at Civil War Studios. Where are we catching?
Well, the website is civilwarstudios.org. And you can catch me by email at civilwarstudios@gmail.com.
All right. You know, I just wrote a script like 2 minutes ago. I'm going to ship that to you.
Yeah, I'm literally agent.
Yeah, don't put me on your spam list. I don't want you complaining about my 300 scripts I've been sent you.
Now, how do I block this number?
All right. I definitely am interested in your project when I first ran across it. I look forward to when you put it out, and keep me abreast, man. I mean, of course, I'm gonna submit a script every 26 hours. So in between me submitting scripts and you deleting them, feel free to come on, and if you want to holler, you got something going on. You can come here anytime and make your announcement, sir.
I appreciate that, man. I appreciate that.
And don't forget, you know, I got my good side and my bad side, and I am definitely willing to be an extra and walk by on my good side.
Okay. You just walk backwards and stay on that side.
Yeah. I want to be like the guy that was on Dave Chappelle where he just did the electric boogaloo pop lock whatnot. I'll just walk by and, you know, I'll make it up as I go.
You went back, man. Oh, my God.
Hey, you know.
That smells like breaking.
Hey, well, you know, I can't do that crump dancing. That's the way too hard.
I crap out. You know?
Yeah. Hey, I fall out watching them do it.
And so do they.
Yeah, exactly. Well, one more time. Tell us where we can catch up to Travis Ware.
That is civilwarestudios@gmail.com. And the Wind and Fire website is windandfiretvshow.wetpaint.com.
Uh-oh. Are y'all ready? Wind and Fire. On that note, thank you, sir, for coming on the show. And once again, don't be a stranger. You got something happening. Holler at me. I'm just a touch away. Oh. All right. All right, that was my man, Travis Ware. No, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back.
As I slew drummer.
Yes, sir.
As I slew drummer.
Yes, sir.
As I slew drummer.
Yes, sir.
The smooth drama.
Yes, sir.
Listen here, man. It's your boy, Cam Wee. I'm just acting a fool. With my man, DH. Y'all know him as. And Butter Butter Pecan. Yes, sir. Chosen.
All right. Welcome back to Smooth Drama. Dude never says my name. Every time I listen to that drop, he never says my name. He refuses to say Dick Hugger. Like, why? It's just Dick. Anyway. As always, I want to talk about stupid people in the things that do that designate them for the stupid category. Because, as I always say, we want to make sure that we show that stupid is you, and you are not normal, and we are not going to stand by and be lumped in with you. So, in keeping with that, in Ohio, the self-proclaimed ninja that entered into people's homes, stole a can of noodles and a pack of cigarettes, and then climbed into bed with the man and his wife. It's like, really? It makes you wonder, what is wrong with people? I mean, obviously he was on drugs, but the point was that he thought it was cool to not only break into people's houses, because for most of us, and maybe a lot of people out there listening don't know, breaking into people's houses is against the law. If you didn't know, I'm just telling you, I'm letting you know. First. Second, if you're going to break into the house, break in, steal the shit and cut. Don't hop into bed with me. I'm not feeling that. That whole hopping into bed with me is, and he's a commercial for Just Say No. Just Say No. Now, speaking of Say No, this is a little bit, speaking of Just Saying No, there was the sauna. The people who were in the sauna contest, it makes you wonder about people. A Russian contestant who, in the world sauna competition, I didn't know that they had sauna competition, contest, whatever you want to call it. I don't know what is a sauna contest. I guess they sitting in the sauna, and Vladimir, I'm gonna mess his name up, don't be mad at me. Lady Hinsky, who was an amateur wrestler in his 60s, he was pronounced dead Saturday after he collapsed alongside the reigning champion, 40-year-old Timo Kokkonen of Finland, about 6 minutes into the competition's final round. The winner would have been the contestant who withstood the sizzling ordeal the longest. What was really, really silly is that we're talking about 200 degrees in the sauna. I don't know about anybody else, but 100 degrees outside is hot. Granted, it may have been cool in Finland. I don't know the weather in Finland. Don't know the weather that day, but I'm going to think that getting in the boiling water, being I'm from New Orleans, Louisiana. You know, they do the crab broils down there. About 200-300 in crab. You throw them in there and they just pop. And that kind of what happened here. Kind of nasty. Anybody who wants to sit in boiling water and it's a competition, you're really stupid. Just me. I mean, I love boxing, but I don't understand the concept of getting punched in the face. I love boiled food. You know, boil an egg, broil some chicken before you throw it on the grill. But broiling dick, not the move. Broiled dick, char-broiled dick, it's not sounding right. I mean, it may sound good to some others, but not personally. Cooking myself is never a good idea. Never, ever, ever, ever. But we are talking about stupid people. Speaking of stupid people, and maybe this is stupid, maybe it's not. This is one of those, do you feel it, do you not feel it? As a group who's filing suit over the government's power to kill American terrorists, you know, the two civil groups are challenging the government's authority to kill U.S. citizens living abroad who are designated as terrorists. Now, we're talking about the ACLU, the American Civil Liberties Union, and the Center for Constitutional Rights. They're representing the father of Islamic cleric Anwar al-Awlaki, who is believed to be living in Yemen, and he supposedly is targeted by U.S. government drones, i.e. CIA. Now, as a historian here, we know that there have been Americans who've gone abroad. Malcolm X comes to mind, Martin Luther King, people who've been, who under what they're talking about doing, American citizens who the government may not agree with what they're saying, but could designate them as terrorists and target to kill them. The question is, do we think that that's fair as American citizens? Because we say terrorists, and people get crazy when you say terrorists. But really, what is terrorism is something that we disagree with. Now, I don't know what this guy's politics are, but we supposedly he's an American citizen. Now, as an American citizen, do you think the government should have the right, if they disagree with what you say, to target you for death? That would be the point. Not the point that he's a Muslim. It's the fact that as an American citizen, you're supposed to have the right to agree or disagree with what your government is doing and speak out on it, so long as you're not causing dissent. Ask the question. I ask you as the listener, what do you think? You got an opinion on it? Hit me up, Dick at Smooth Drama. I'd be interested to hear what you got to say. And on that note, I want to thank y'all for listening. I want to thank Mr. Travis Ware of Silverware Studios for blessing us and coming on the show. And I'm Dick Hugger, Smooth Drama, kind of out.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast. Smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you guys.
Smooth.
Drama.